now people from outside could understand. All right. So you know about our objection to the agreement. You know our refusal to go to Paris to sign agreement on the 30th of October. That was the original plan. If Kissinger could have a way with us, we refused to do that. You know about the story of the interview given by Van Damme to Anton de Bograve in Newsweek on the 26th of October, in which he talked about the agreement. Actually, he gave a summary of the agreement. And then he talked about the agreement between the United States, and he talked about the so-called National Council of Reconciliation as some kind of disguised government of coalition. That was very much against our position. Because if I can pick up two things that I would want, was very much against. That is, first, the non-withdrawal of the North Vietnamese troops, and secondly, the disguise, a kind of disguise government of coalition. But of course, you refused to sign, and then the whole thing had to be dropped out. Remember that time we have the election here? So there was a lapse, and during all this time, how to government communicate. But then again, after the election, the secret of which are no longer secret now, with Le Duc Tho, resume again on the 20th of November. That was the first round after the election, lasting from the 20th of November until the 25th of November. We were very angry about the way that the first draft was negotiated. Then we told the American government that we should be concerned. There is no way that you negotiate the fate of Vietnam without consulting us. And furthermore, we asked to be member of the delegation to negotiate. We have reason to do so because for a long time already, it was agreed between the government of US and the government of Vietnam that when come to the negotiation, we requested to play the leading role. The US government did not agree to that, but did agree that in case of negotiation, we would play a leading role. Well, it question very much of semantics. You are one professor. You know the distinction between the and a. But never mind. Somehow at that time, when he asked to be part of the negotiation, the West government said that, no, no way, because we cannot include. The North Vietnamese would not talk with you, and if you are in the negotiation, there was absolutely no hope whatsoever to reach any agreement. And therefore, what we agree with the US government is that we would have someone in Paris so as Kissinger can consult with us, can inform us about what is going on. So, as far as the Paris negotiation was concerned, the South Vietnamese did not play any role at all in the direct negotiation between the North Vietnamese and the American. We are kept in a role of consultation. That means that, of course, the African delegation would consult with us. We would give our point of view on the various question, you would put up our position. But the question of whether the West delegation, Kissinger, would take our position and use it to negotiate with the Vietnamese. That wouldn't depend on us. So, in the whole period during November and December, until the signing of the agreement, we did not sit down any time with the North Vietnamese, or we didn't see any one of them. It worked like a zap. Usually, Kissinger and Thok would meet at about 10 o'clock in the morning. And the session may last 2-3 hours. The session may last 6 hours at one time. And then in the evening, Kissinger would meet with us. At that time, we have in Paris our ambassador, who was also the head of the formal delegation to Paris for negotiation, the one that I told you to discard it. We do not talk about that. And my son and my colleague, ambassador to London. So just three of us. Every night, after Kissinger met with Lady Thok, we met with them. And then, please remember that there was no negotiation at all between the period from October until the 20th of November. It was during this round that President Nixon ordered Dr. Kissinger to bring up our 69 point of objection to the North Vietnamese. We were informed about that. So after the fourth session, we asked Kissinger, did you do that? He said that, of course, I did. I did bring up on the 69 front. And he said that, how Thok reacted about that? He said that Thok reacted in a very sarcastic way. But the point is, we really do not know whether he did or he did not. But to give him the benefit of the doubt, we think that he did. But then, we really do not know that how vigorously he defend our position. He took it as his own. Or everything has been already set up, especially on the two key questions. That is the question of non-withdrawal of the North Vietnamese troops and the question of the National Council of National Reconciliation and Concord. The three-element council that we talk about. It goes on going like that. The next day, we meet again at night. At that time, I remember Kissinger and Sullivan had to go to Brussels to see President Suharto because according to the draft agreement of 8th of October, Indonesia would be one member of the International Commission. So Kissinger and Sullivan had to go to Brussels to see Suharto. We had a meeting with Hay, Jerome Hay, who was number two in the delegation. It's curious enough, when he talked about Paris negotiation, not only that the South Vietnamese did not apply any role in the direct negotiation. But furthermore, we had to negotiate with the American. And that is the irony of the story, among a lie. At this session, that was the second day of the November round, Kissinger was away, Sullivan was away, Jerome Hack briefed us, and he was in a very bad mood. He was in very bad mood because at this session, Lady Thok reject on the 69 points that we raised and accuse Americans of willing to rewrite the agreement. So they put everything back in question. Soldier on Hack was very angry with us. So very coolly I told him that you should not be angry with us, you should be angry with the North Vietnamese. Anyhow, we only do our job in defending our position. And if you are a liar, you should defend our position. He said that, oh yes, yeah, we did it, but you don't remember how long it takes to negotiate that, you know, because that agreement was considered as very good. You get more than you come again for. So from this, we have the insight about what is going on in the mind of the US government. Furthermore, we keep talking like that. And then in our meeting of November 24th with Kissinger, Kissinger said that he is going to ask for a recess of the negotiation because it was so clear that the change that we asked them to do is so great that Thok would have to go back to Hanoi for consultation. And he also would have to go back to Washington for consultation. And us, we'd have to go back to Saigon for consultation. And it was, again, a very angry session with Kissinger. Because somehow, Kissinger accused us of not cooperating with them. Kissinger accused us of not having anyone of rapid decision right on the spot so that you don't have to refer to Saigon. But Kissinger was particularly very angry because in the meantime, there was in Saigon, there is a press reporting that Kissinger already exceeded his power in negotiating this draft agreement because President Nixon didn't want that and Kissinger was so eager to get Nobel Prize and things like that. So he was venting on his anger on us. So I told him that, look up, Mr. Kissinger, when we don't have any hand in this kind of press campaign, we cannot control our press to the same extent as we could not. You could not control yours. It was not our way. Meanwhile, it is very unfair to accuse us of non-cooperative. Because we gave to him, during this short period of 2 or 3 days, we gave him 3 memoranda stating our position, stating what we suggest that it could be changed and so on and so forth. But of course he said that, oh yes, I took it and brought it to the North Vietnamese. I said, if the North Vietnamese did accept that, we have to negotiate again. It is no way that we are going to give up. But the whole point is that he accused us also of being non-cooperative. He asked us to sit, to discuss about the protocol application. If any all of you know about the Paris Agreement. We have the agreement on one side. We have 3 protocol application. 1 protocol for the return of POW and civilian and so on and so forth. 1 protocol for the implementation of the ceasefire, how the ceasefire should be organized and so on and so forth. And the 3rd one for the implementation of the international control, international Committee of Control and Supervision. He called it ICSC, something like that. All right, we refuse to do that. Because, of course, how willing to discuss about the protocol on the C5 when we do not accept the principle of the North Vietnamese non-withdrawal from South Vietnam? To sit, to discuss the protocol, imply to some extent that we would accept the end October draft. This we did not want to do. So we told him that. In the meantime, we proposed a lot, but still, to make it short, the 3 points are very important to us. Is still the withdrawal of North Vietnamese troops. The question of the three element National Council for Reconciliation and Concord, and the reinforcement of the 17th parallel as conceived by the 1954 Geneva Agreement. This was the three main points. In the meantime, we have our friend Duc, who was the, let's say, the counterpart of Kissinger in our government, coming to Washington to see President Nixon and bringing to President Nixon a very long letter from President Hill. And President Nixon saw him at that time. And but Duc tried to bring up on the point that I mentioned to you, namely these three very important for us. But somehow President Nixon said, yes, we have to discuss it, but he's afraid that it was too late in the game. In the same time, we get hold of a directive of President Nixon to Kissinger, and telling Kissinger that if he wants, he can communicate it to us. And of course, Kissinger communicated to us. And this directive said that Nixon has consultation with all the congressmen and senator, pro-Vietnam congressmen and senator, who has been so far supporting aid to Vietnam. And he has explained to him, to them, the various provisions of the 8 October draft. And according to Prendix, they were unanimous in saying that the USA should accept this term, that is, the 8 October draft. And if South Vietnam is a roadblock to this agreement, then when the Congress resumes on January the 2nd, they would lead the fight to cut off aid to Vietnam. And President Nixon estimated that in case of no agreement because of South Vietnam, aid to South Vietnam would be cut off around beginning of middle of January, of February, 1973. But he saw this one. Well, I wouldn't say that it is completely incorrect. It is correct, but whether the various congressmen and senators was unanimous in that is rather doubtful. We did receive a lot of pressure from our friend, congressman and senator, who used to support us. And they all would tell to us that, oh yes, if there is agreement, you should try to accept it, because it was very difficult already for us to get aid to Vietnam in the last session in 1971. and therefore you should do that. And as to the question of military assistance to South Vietnam after the agreement, you don't have to worry about that, because the United States was only interested in getting the boy out, in having the agreement. Later on, the question of military assistance for your defense, that would not pose any question at all. That was the message that not only President Nixon and Kissinger told us, but that is ourselves received from various congressmen and senators. If I'd like to point out to you that even in the December of 19, in the spring of 1972, there was already a rumor, some kind of talk in the Congress, that the Americans just shoot window for Vietnam in exchange of the return of the POW. That's all. That was a kind of tendency, somebody already Freud and Warner. So we come to the second round. And the second round of the Paris negotiation lasted, I think, that from 6th or 7th December to the 12th of December. That was the second round. Of course, after consultation in Saigon, with Hanoi, Le Duc Thọ reject everything. He would like to go back to the 8th October draft. And furthermore, worse than that, he prayed on the POW question. He would like to link up the question of the return of the POW to the question of the return of all American civilians, which were on contract with State or Defense Department and working with Vietnam. Before, in the 8th October draft, these two questions were separate. POW, both South Vietnamese, North Vietnamese, and American was in one section. Civilian was in one section. Now they wanted to mix it up, to make it more difficult. And then it was going on. North Vietnamese very much hardened its position. Kissinger, I have to go back to the 8th October draft, and nothing come out. It was a completely frustrated session for both sides, and especially for us, when we saw Kissinger at night, of course, the natural accusation that, you know, because we applied dilatory tactics, because it did not come forward to give more concession. We always insist that there are two questions that we could not give in. That is the withdrawal of the North Vietnamese troops and the question of the Trillium and National Council, which should not be disguised as an organ of the government. We always told them that one, these questions, two questions to clear up, then of course we could be, all the questions would be very easy to arrange. But then, it's no ever. The whole thing is that it is because us that the agreement could not be signed. But actually, it is true in the same sense. But the question is, what kind of agreement? Is it suitable for the survival of South Vietnam? So the negotiation, the second round in Paris, break up on the 12th of December. Both Kissinger and I, respectively, Dr. Kissinger left for Washington and I left for Saigon. And I still remember, he was so angry that at the airport when I saw him, he told me that, are you going to Saigon? I said, of course, right now, this afternoon. So he said, please report to tell everything that happened. And they are so impossible now. They, that is North Vietnamese, are going to break their back. And I suspect some kind of very strong action. So I flew back to Saigon right away. And sure enough, I think that I arrived there on the 15th. I report the haunting and White House announced the visit of Jerome Hague on the 17th of December. It was the same day that the bombing of North Vietnam started, the so-called Christmas bombing in the press. You all know the purpose of the bombing. But somehow, I remember one sentence from Prime Nixon, who said that the bombing was meant to tell the North Vietnamese that the USA would like a rapid end to the fighting. But he told us that it does not mean that the US would get involved again in the fighting in South Vietnam. It only to tell the North Vietnamese that we would like to have rapid end to the fighting. And if you violate, that is a kind of massive retaliation that you are going to receive. So, how people in Saigon receive the news of the bombing with, I would say, mixed feeling. People from the outside, we are closing on the details of the Paris negotiation, thought that, oh yes, America is back again, and here we are going to hit them again. But for us, who were there and who was privy to Nixon letter, understood what that means. That means that the bombing is signal to us that we have to sign. That is the bombing, the bomb of Vietnam. I quote the sentence that the bomb of Vietnam to sign and that the South Vietnamese to sign. Both. All right. So you know the story. After 10 days, it was agreed that the talk would resume again. I think that on December 4th. December 4th. On January 4th. Or January 5th. I don't remember exactly. The third round lasts on about 8 days until the 13th. It was on the 13th of January that Kissinger completed the draft of the agreement and also the drafting of the three protocols that I mentioned. But I already give you everything on that. But the main point is we resist to the end. President Nixon gave us an ultimatum that is a draft document, which actually was not much different from the 8th October draft in substance. Have some few gain in terms of there is reference in the Geneva document. National Council of Reconciliation is no longer an organ of the government, but it is no longer a governmental organ, but only an administrative organ in charge of election. That is the only task, not in charge, disguise or administration or anything. We gain a few points like that. But also the major thing, that is the non-withdrawal of the North Vietnamese troops is still there. We propose many, in the meantime, we propose many variations to that. We propose that because North Vietnamese do not accept that they have troops in South Vietnam, they continue this myth until the end. Never accept that they there was no metro in South Vietnam. So we told them that, all right, if they don't would like to acknowledge that. So we just proposed that in the fact of withdrawal of non-South Vietnamese forces, they do not accept. We propose other formulas. We propose that there will be demobilization of South Vietnam forces and of communist forces on the basis of one-to-one. That is, if they demobilize one, we would demobilize one, like that. They didn't accept. We propose that, all right, we demobilize and send on the soldier, one-to-one, of course, and send on the soldier back to their native village. They didn't accept. We resist until the end, until in the letter of, I think that, 20th of January, when Nixon wrote us a very stiff letter, and he said that it was with Monroe. He gave us until midnight of January 21st to accept the agreement, or he would go alone. That was black and white on the paper. So, of course, on midnight of 21st, we had to give in. Why had to give in? Because it's quite clear to us, and Nixon, not only in his letter, but personally in conversation with me, just insisted that agreement is not important. It is only a piece of paper. It is the power of the presidency behind this agreement that counts. Let's say, if you have withdrawn to the North Vietnamese, if they withdrew to North Vietnam, but when they infiltrate again, if I do not order retaliation, the fighting will resume again. And you would lose. And therefore, agreement is agreement, but anyhow, it's still a piece of paper. It is the power of the presidency behind you. This massive retaliation that support you, that intended infiltration, that would make the North Vietnamese troops to dry out, that is that support. So from our point of view, how we might have to evaluate. Either you risk the government of USA would go alone and side separately, and then completely disrupt the facade of United Front, if it is said, or we accept an agreement, very bad, that have the seat of further fighting. And we may lose, but still we have two elements with us. One is the promise of massive retaliation and the promise of enough military assistance so as we can fight out alone. So when you have to evaluate these two facts and when on the consequences. Of course, you know how we had to accept and how, for the outside, we still say that, yes, we did not have what you wanted, but, you know, it was an improvement. But really, there was not much of improvement. I was the one who had to say that to the American press. I still suffer. Even 15 years, after 15 years. So we accept the fact. A lot of people said that when it was already arranged between the North Vietnamese and the American government, the theory is very popular among the Vietnamese. I have to answer that I do not have the fact to support them. I give to President Nixon the benefit of the doubt. That is, he really believed that he can carry on the agreement at least until the end of his second term. And he really believed that with the violence of the Christmas bombing, the Northern armies would be very worried about his massive, he promised, a massive retaliation. For a longer term, I would not dare to speculate, but I do think that, I give him the benefit of that, but then the element of internal politics, namely Watergate, just did not allow him to do that. I tell you now why I give him the benefit of the doubt. In April 1973, when the Northern army started the infiltration already in big scale into South Vietnam, one day I was invited to the Pentagon, and General Haig told me that you better be prepared because we could not stand that anymore. We might have to retaliate. So I just asked him that when. He said that it is matter of days, not matter of week. And then of course, I came at home. Then the next day, I opened my eyes. It was reported that Mr. Dean of the White House has already agreed to testify about the whole thing in about what again. So I told myself that maybe it's the end of the retaliation. And it was correct. Because later on I asked the director, he said, oh no, the president just could not leave the order. I suppose that General Haig, being a real military and being number two at the National Security Council under Kissinger, Haig would not call me up to Pentagon to talk with me about that without special authorization. Because as ambassador here, I suffer a very great disadvantage. They said that because we do not have safe communication, so everything secret, sensitive, or so-called sensitive, or everything they would like only President Tiong to know would be channeled through Saigon, not through this, but as it's embassy here. And if I ask, Saigon might not tell me, even my own government might not tell me, because we really were not sure about our communication. That is very interesting. And Kissinger knows that. This is why, when during the whole process of negotiation, he played everything very close to his chest. I already mentioned that he did not tell Senator Roger about what was going on. And for the Vietnamese, when I meant something, when I like to probe, I meet him and ask him, he would say that, oh yes, we have already briefed your president in Saigon. And I check back with Saigon sometime, yes, but to what extent and how, I do not know. Sometimes Saigon told me that, no, he did not mention anything about that. And then it's a whole thing. But I have to say that it was a very clever game. Clever game because he understands very well Vietnamese politics. Vietnamese politics is very much like African politics. Information is power. I think that I have really taken up too much of your time. I think that I leave it to... And I think that we, if you ask the State Department, they should have that one fine. Actually, I have it, but I lost it. Somebody, I did not lose it. It's very sad. Somebody asked me for information. I was so naive to give them all, and then they stole it.
Well, I think that it is not that much difficult to find this.
That was not difficult at all.
Not so difficult at all. The draft agreement in October 1972.
The end of October.
Yeah, you can find it at the State Department, or well, we will look at it and we'll try to let you know whether or not we can get it for you.
Yes. Well, I suppose that it was drafted by both sides.
But they never gave you the North Vietnamese draft.
No, Vietnamese draft, they did give us later on.
Later?
Later on, yes, about 5 days later. Yeah, and in which we find so many mistakes that we couldn't accept. And the North Vietnamese really play on the vocabulary. Yeah. And this reason why we taught the Americans that we would have somebody, people in our division in Paris. If you have trouble about some Vietnamese version, should consider us. And so, at the end, we have both English and Vietnamese version. But the Vietnamese version was using so much of communist term that we cannot accept. And you would be very surprised to know that when we signed the agreement, in our declaration, we said that the English text is the legal text, official text. We do not accept the Vietnamese text. Can you believe that? Among the two Vietnamese parties, and we cannot accept the Vietnamese text. We have to accept the English text as the legal text.
Captain Farrell?
Right.
Surely, reports out of Paris, you must have had a, you must have had when and what was going to be in the agreement. Did you try to demonstrate your protest before you got the final text on the 17th? And if you didn't like the fact that you were kind of cut out of negotiations between the Americans and the North Vietnamese, did you try any efforts to become more of an active part of those negotiations?
When? It is not correct. First of all, we do not have any idea at all about what the enemy is. Because as I told you, this is a fight very close to his chest. I also, as for the previous contact between Christian and Lady Thor, what he asked, Christian already said that, oh yes, it is the same thing. They still want you to go. They still want the government coalition with three elements, this and that. That's all. That is the first point. So really, we didn't have a clue at all about what is in the end of October draft until we saw it in Saigon. Secondly, we pushed to play active part in the negotiation. As I mentioned it to you, we have a memorandum asking the U.S. government that when Thai come for negotiation, he would like to play the leading role because he would like to model the negotiation on the Malaysian model. You know, Malaysians have had insurgency, communist rebellion. For 10 years, the British had brought in 250,000 Commonwealth troops to fight for 10 years. But when time came for negotiation, they led the Malaysian government to negotiate with the communists. They stay out. We would like to do that. But then it was thought, we were taught that it's not possible. And especially after the 8th of October, after the October visit of Kissinger to Saigon, we asked, he said that if you are in, you would never have an agreement. Because the two sides just cannot negotiate. So he preferred to negotiate alone with the dictator. And I think that North Vietnamese also prefer that. What is your third question?
My third question was, who was going to be against any compromise that did not involve full victory of warships? You said
that is not correct. As I mentioned during the talk, I said that we have two things that was very much foremost in our mind. The withdrawal of the North Vietnamese troops, and also there should not be any disguise of coalition government. Why we have that? Because we had already experience with coalition with the communists in North Vietnam during the 1945. So, and also about the non-withdrawal, the withdrawal of North Vietnamese troops. If I'd like to remind you about a meeting in Manila in July 1966, when the United States tried to push on the airline Sito to contribute troops in South Vietnam. The agreement and the principle at that time, it was public, that the allied troops would withdraw 6 months after the North Vietnamese troops. That was a decision in Manila, 1966.
Yeah, he of was course. Right. In 66 instead of 67, I put it before.
Yeah.
But the Manila was 66.
Of course, you know, from 66 to 72, it was a long time. A lot of things have changed. But from there to withdraw unilaterally, it is a different matter. And